slows down growth only on that side. Now, imagine a potato root lying sideways with the top half of the root growing faster than the bottom half. You bet. Pretty soon, the root will start to bend downward. Not bad for a spud. This moment of science comes from Indiana University, with production support from the American Society of Plant Biologists. Today's program was prepared by William Oram, with help from Roger Hangarter in biology. I'm Don Glass.
In sports, with the start of the French Open less than 2 weeks away, three-time defending champion Justine Henin announced today she's retiring from tennis immediately. The 25-year-old Belgian won four of her seven Grand Slam singles titles on the red clay in Paris. She leaves the game ranked number one in the world. Kelvin Sampson is getting another shot at coaching. The former Indiana University head coach is one of four assistants hired today by the Milwaukee Bucks. New coach Scott Skiles also hired former Chicago Bulls coach Jim Boylan and former NBA players Lionel Hollins and Joe Wolf. Sampson brings experience but also carries some baggage. He resigned as Hoosiers coach on February 22nd and accepted a $750,000 buyout after an NCAA report charged him with five major NCAA rules violations. Sampson took the Indiana job in March of 2006 and 2 months later was penalized by the NCAA for making 577 impermissible phone calls between 2000 and 2004. While coaching Oklahoma. Detroit advances to the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals with a 91-85 Game 5 victory over Orlando. The Pistons will face the winner of the Boston-Cleveland semifinal that's tied at two games apiece heading into tonight's encounter on the Celtics' home floor. After an offensive rally in extra innings on Tuesday, the Pittsburgh Pirates will look to make it two straight against the St. Louis Cardinals at Busch Stadium tonight as the teams continue their three-game set. The Pirates beat the Cardinals 8-4 in 10 innings yesterday. Jake Peavy hopes to help the last-place San Diego Padres snag their fourth win in five games tonight when they continue their four-game series against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. San Diego's won 3 of 4 to snap out of an ugly 4-18 slump that gave the Padres the worst record in the majors. And John Lackey takes the mound tonight as the Los Angeles Angels continue a four-game series with the struggling Chicago White Sox. The Angels beat Chicago last night 2-0. That's sports.
Thanks to these businesses for helping to make WILL's Central Illinois World War II Stories project possible. Clark Lindsay Village, Eco Water Systems, IBEW Local 601, and Super Value. Thank you.
Monday's earthquake in China is comparable to the great San Francisco earthquake of 1906. Both were the same magnitude. Both tore open about 200 miles of fault line. Both shook the ground for what felt like an eternity, and both toppled structures that simply were not built to sustain that amount of movement. NPR's Richard Harris reports.
Seismologist Lucy Jones of the U.S. Geological Survey lives in California, but she used to live in Sichuan Province near the scene of this week's quake.
The earthquake occurred on the Lungmanshan Fault. It's sort of like the San Andreas for California, that's one of the really big faults to cause a lot of problems.
Now, the comparison isn't perfect. Movement along the San Andreas is caused by continental plates sliding past one another. Quakes on the Lungmanshan Fault are the result of a head-on collision.
The big picture is that India is moving into Eurasia and doesn't stop. And the Himalayas have been pushed up, and India still doesn't stop. So actually, China is being squeezed out over the Pacific Ocean to make way for India to continue barreling north.
Every so often, the stress in the rocks becomes too much. The result, a fault slips. This earthquake was huge because, like the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco, a lot of the fault gave way all at once.
And in this case, the fault's almost 200 miles long. And every point on that 200-mile-long fault is giving off energy. And it's one of the things we're trying to teach people here in California, that when we have our big San Andreas earthquake, it's going to be very different, not because it's so much more intense shaking at any moment, but in large part because so much larger an area will be involved.
Jones says shaking was not only widespread, but painfully long.
The bigger the earthquake, the longer it lasts. And this earthquake probably had a duration of maybe 70, 80 seconds.
So add that all together, and Jones is not surprised to see that this was a devastating quake. Seismologists have a way to estimate potential damage. They use a shaking intensity scale that goes from 1 to 10. Anything 8 or above means expect heavy damage.
In this earthquake, there are almost 1.5 million people exposed to either intensity 9 or 10. So there are just a huge number of people that are living right on top of really heavy levels of shaking, and the damage has to result from there.
Even so, Chinese-born structural engineer Chuhong Zhao was stunned to see the images and hear the death toll from Monday's quake.
I guess one thing that kind of surprised me was the casualties.
Zhao is an assistant professor at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. She's traveled often through Sichuan province. She says, on the one hand, the Chinese government recognized that the area had high earthquake potential, so it called for fairly strict building codes. But that awareness didn't trickle down to the residents.
You have the seismic zone there, but I think the people there, they don't think that, you know, earthquake is something that they will think of in everyday life. It's not like in California, you know about earthquake, you talk about earthquake all the time.
She expects that most of the damage will turn out to have been in older construction, built before strict building codes came into existence. Many structures built more than 30 or 40 years ago were made simply of brick, and those buildings do poorly in earthquakes.
We're just guessing what's the reason, but I think really some serious investigation needs to be initiated to find out the reason.
Would you be interested in participating in that?
Yes, of course.
Rescue is everybody's first priority, but after that's complete, Zhao hopes to go back to China to find out why so many buildings collapsed and how to prevent future tragedies like this. Richard Harris, NPR News.
After rushing out on the streets of Chengdu to get out of buildings that might topple, many people were on their cell phones sending text messages. It was the way that word first got out about the earthquake. China is a country where 600 million people have cell phones. NPR's Laura Seidel reports from Shanghai.
The earthquake in southwestern China was felt here in Shanghai. The city's ubiquitous high-rises began to shake around 2:30 in the afternoon, and office workers poured out into the streets. Many pulled out their cell phones. This woman, who would only give her surname, Li, says she started to text message her friends in Sichuan quickly and learned they were fine. Li says now many of her friends are living in tents and they can't recharge their batteries, so she sends them text messages because they require less energy than a phone call. Many Chinese needed to hear the voices of their loved ones. Vina Wu Ni works in this large modern office building in the Pudong district of Shanghai. As soon as she heard about the quake, she tried calling her parents up.